meaning it's sort of the words that are meaningless and empty. Very good. V'cheinu omer modeh ve'ozev yerucham v'tzorech lifrotes achet ona achet ona chata ha'am hazeh chata agid ala ve'asu lehem elokei zahav elohei zahav, etc. So then comes halacha dalet, the halacha that we're interested in, where the Rambam tells us that midarkei hatshuva is a phrase that the, especially in this context, that the Rambam formulates on his own, which is makes it very important. Midarkei hatshuva, lios hashav tzoek tamid lefnei Hashem. A person who is doing tshuva should be constantly in a state of being distraught and being tzoek, shouting or crying, agitated, tamid lefnei Hashem, the bechi ubetachnunim, both in crying, right, which has a certain inarticulate quality to it, ubetachnunim, and formulating tfilos, the osa tzedaka kifi kocho, and he gives tzedaka to the best of his ability, umisrache karbe min adavar shechatabo, and he distanced himself exceedingly from his chet. Umishana Shemo, and he changes his name, Klomar, as if to say, Ani Acher, Eni Osa Isha Osa Osan Hamasim, Umishana Maisav Kulon, Latova, Oladerach Ishara, Megolam Imakomo, Shagolas Mechapera Savon, Mepne Shagol Rebisol, Hichana, Ulios Anav, Bishafel Ruach. So basically, this is the Rambam's description of Midarkei Hatshuva, a phrase that he himself coins. And it's just a beautiful, the Rambam Kedarko, but this is just a beautiful formulation of Derech HaTshuva. Each of these components, as we'll see in a moment, is cast or recast by the Rambam in his own language, to be something very significant and very powerful. I'll explain what I mean in just a minute. So the phrase Midarkei HaTshuva, we should note, spoken about this in the past, also appears elsewhere in the Rambam, making it even more significant. The Rambam in Hilchos Tainis, in the very beginning, Perek Aleph, also explains that whenever Klal Yisrael is in a state of crisis, that batzar lehem, basically, so the derech hatshuva, they should do tshuva, and the derech hatshuva is to presume that whatever calamity they are encountering is connected with their own behavior. Mipnei chatosenu. We discussed about this a little bit the other day. It came up. So the Rambam says that's midarkei hatshuva, the same phrase that he uses here. I believe that it's very, very telling that he uses these. You have to basically look back to Hilchos Tainis to understand Hilchos tshuva, and you have to look to Hilchos Tshuva to understand Hilchos Tainis, to understand what the Rambam wants in both these places. But surely it's not a coincidence. He coins this phrase Midarkei HaTshuva in both of these places. What does it mean Midarkei HaTshuva? So I think based on Hilchos Tainis, it's clear that both we're dealing with a methodology or mechanism, meaning an approach of some sort on the one hand, but in the broadest sense. In another, I'll just contrast it with the view of the Meiri, who of course works off the Rambam a lot, but adds things and also changes things, given his own perspective. So when the Meiri doesn't use the phrase Midarkei HaTshuva, when he relates to this Gemara, which we'll get to in just a second, Gemara Rosh Hashanah Tezayin Adeis, and borrows partially, but only partially, from the Rambam's formulations here in Parak Beis Halacha Daled, it's interesting that he does so in the context of, this is in Parak, as Maimar Aleph, Parak Chi'i. Everybody knows that the Meiri wrote something called Chibur HaTshuva. It's published after Masechet Tainis, which I think is also very interesting. The Meiri says, Levar bo hatnai hasheni. It's in the context of also a method, but a method of something very specific. V'hu ligmar b'makshavto levilti shuv lasos ha'avon o havonos asher shavata mehen. For the Meiri, this Gemara, this idea that the Rambam is developing, is part of the strategy, right, of an effective Kabbalah lahaba. The Meiri goes on to explain, quoting partially the Rambam, that, you know, again, if you're insincere, the Rambam says it right here in Perek Beis as well, that if you're insincere and it's only words, it's like Tovel B'Sheretz B'Yado, and the Meiri says, oh, I really like that mashal, I like the idea that Tefillah Mikvah is Tshuva, and I like the Sheretz B'Yado being the insincerity, but he says, listen, you know, it can happen that people lapse back into sin. That's not Tovel B'Sheretz B'Yado, and that's not insincere Tshuva. It just means that they were sincere when they resolved to do tshuva, and you know, then they were overcome by other factors or temptations, etc. And then he goes on to say, however, that's not the best way to be. In other words, Tova v'sharetz biyado is cynical or at least meaningless. But lapsing back into sin when you mean it, you know, in the interim, says the Meiri, is legitimate tshuva. That's like tovel v'achakach b'sharetz. But he says, "Ein mizeh hamin mi shebe'es atshuva gomer b'liba lazo darko hara tachlis aziva, aval achar ze yachricheu yitzro lo shuv lachto v'chein tamid al derech midas avoseinu." Right? Sheze amnam kvar haisa tshuva tshuvaso tshuva be'es heyasosa v'ho'ila alachatoy makodlim. I'm skipping a little bit. Zota hanaga ra'a chola tore al ba'aleha signon kasher ra umar. Imatsu darke atshuva al arichuk b'zeh ha'teva l'harchik zeh ha'inyan yizhiru ma'od li'oz bal tshuva kona midos u'tchunos kadashos u'misora l'harbos b'tova masim tamid k'moshe kivin ba'amro Lev Tahar Barali Elokim. And then he goes on to quote this Gemara and partly from the Rambam. Basically what the Meiri is saying is a good strategy to ensure Kabbalah Lahaba that not only is sincere but also will have will also endure, so that, you know, it's not only a proper tshuva, you know, b'shaito, but really lays this foundation for a bigger future. Part of that is the strategy that the Gemara and that the Rambam elaborates on, of, you know, being Mishana Shemo and Mishana Makobo and giving tzedakah and being tzoek, etc. Now again, in the Rambam itself, it's not so difficult to read that either, because again, Halacha Gimel is Kol Mitzvada B'Devarim V'Lo Gomar B'Li B'Lazov Harei Zadom L'Tova V'Sharetz B'Yado. And then Halacha Dalet is Midarkei Hatshuva Lios Hashav. So it could be that the Meiri himself was very influenced in his reading of this, in situating this halacha. Basically, you know, you want to overcome Tovel B'Sheretz B'Yado, and even more than that, even when it's Tovel, right, B'li Sheretz, you want to make sure that it won't be the Achakach Naga B'Sheretz. So it's the Midarkei Atshuva that the Rambam gets from the Gemara. But if you look at the Rambam, it doesn't seem like that's all that's happening here. Not from the way that he expands on this, nor even the phrase Midarkei Hatshuva. It sounds like now the Rambam is going back to Ezohi Tshuva Gemura, and he's just describing a methodology that is also related to a broader substance and content, not just a strategy for Kabbalah Lahaba. Moreover, the fact that the Rambam in Hilchos Tainis uses the same phrase Midarkei Hatshuva, right, is, and there, of course, it has nothing to do specifically with the concern of Kabbalah Lahaba. It has to do with the depth of feeling of tshuva itself. How do you inspire tshuva? Part of the inspiration and the contours and content of the tshuva is this projection that, you know what, being mefashdesh b'masecha. So based on what I was saying before, reading one Rambam in light of the other, it seems to me that while the Meiri's understanding is very fascinating I think important, that what the Rambam is saying is much more than that. The truth is that what the Rambam says has its roots in the Gemara. It's always important to see what the source is, so that then we can appreciate whether the Rambam is just repeating or significantly adding, and if so, how that fits into his broader understanding of the bigger concept. So this is a great example of that. The basis for this Rambam is the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, not Tezayin Amud Beis. But if we look at the Gemara, it's I don't want to, you know, unduly influence the Tzibur. You'll tell me if you think I'm overstating. The Rambam significantly elaborated, expanded, you know, deepened, and even changed the meaning of this Gemara. And that is always, as I say, vital to know for understanding the Rambam, for understanding the concept. What do I mean by that? This is all based on Gemara and Tezayin Amud Beis that says as follows. Rabbi Yitzchak, it's a string of Rabbi Yitzchaks. You know, one of our favorite Rabbi Yitzchaks is in the group, by the way. Which one? Chai Vodam Lahakbil Pnei Rabo. You going to say it, Isaac? Which one are you going to say?
Not me.
What? Ah, Rabbi Yitzchak. I got it. Absolutely. And I'm going to fill out that you know, that sheet to make it so. So, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. It's a good name. So among other things, this is many, many Rabbi Yitzchaks, all very interesting. So, Dalid Dvarim Mekarin Gzardino Shel Adam Eluhei Tzedaka Tzeaka Shinui Hashem Shinui Maisa Tzedaka Dekziv Tzedaka Tatzil Mimaves Tzeaka Dekziv Vayitzaka Lashem Batzar Lehem Umim Tzuko Sehem Yotziem Shinui Hashem Dekziv Sarai Ishtecha Lotikra Et Shema Sarai Ki Sara Shema Uksivu Beirachti Osa Vegam Nasata Mimenu Mimeno Lecha Bein Shinui Maisa Dekziv Ayar Elokim Es Masehem Uksiv Vayinachem Elokim Al Hara'a Asher Diber Lasos Lahem Velo Asa from Yonah V'yeshomrim Av Shinui Makom Dekziv Ayomar Hashem El Avram. Right, lech lecha miartzecha, v'hadar v'escha legoy gadol, etc. Yidach ha'hu zchusad Eretz Yisrael, hu the asni alei. Okay, then the next one is chayvodim mahakul pnei rabu baraka. Okay, so anyways, this is the Gemara upon, these are the four ingredients, or five ingredients, tzedaka, tzaka, shini Hashem, shini maisa, and shinui makom. Right, this is the only makar, as far as we know. For the Rambam's halacha. Question is the Rambam just writing out the halacha, or just a little bit of a literary flourish? Or has he, you know, significantly reinvented or redefined this halacha, or put it in a different context? What has he done? Has he done something substantive with it? So this is a little bit of a hint. It's always good to, you know, compare the two. It's clear to me that the differences are significant, even massive. It's also indicated by the sensitive Nosei Kalim. So the Kesef Mishn Alatar, and some Achronim note this, others don't, says, Parakamin of Rosh Hashanah, this is the Makar, quotes the Gemara, and then he says, El Hei Dvarim Elu Ramaz Rabbeinu B'Dvarim Ela. Which is an innocent enough statement, except that if this is a makar and the Rambam's just writing over the Gemara, then you wouldn't say Hei Dvar Ma'elu Ramaz Rabbeinu, right? You just say this is the makar. This is the Kesef Mishnah's way of saying, you know, the Rambam says something either different or much more, but it is mirumaz, it's hinted at in this Gemara. Don't think that this Gemara is so different that it's not even the makar. It's the makar, albeit in a significantly altered state. The question is, if that's really true, so like, how does that fit into the bigger picture of the Rambam? Why did he alter it? How did he justify expanding it, etc.? In another way, the Lechem Mishnah also seems to take this view. Lechem Mishnah says, Perakam de Rosh Hashanah, Amrav Yitzchak, he quotes the Gemara, and then he says, the Kolach Hamisha, Huskru B'divrei Rabbeinu, Ashav Tzoek Tamid Zutzaaka Osa Tzedaka Kifi Kocho Zutzaaka. The word first one is Tzaaka. Sorry, Mishana Shemoz Eshini Hashem Mishana. Already, there's something going on in the Lechem. Do we really need, you know, to connect the dots? I mean, we can all figure out, you know, what they are. But then, I think we understand what bothered the Lechem Mishnah by his continuation, where he writes that Amapid the Gemara Amru the Kolchad Minayu Sagi. Klomer Adam Shasa Tshuva Beliba Veosa Tzedaka Afa Bishlo Hitchil Lasos Shumaisa Tov Sagi Bekorin Gzardino. Oh, Kim Shashina Shmo Afa Bishlo Hitchil Lasos Shumaisa Tov Sagi Kim Shakabanoso Tova Vechen Kolani Hachi Muchach Mikol Psukim. She viewed the bitzdaka kamar tzdaka takal tatsu limaves mashma the bitzdaka lechud mahani. Meaning, based on the psukim and based on the gemara, it would appear that any of these independently is responsible for being korea gzardino shaladam. And yet, if you read the Rambam, it's midarkei atshuva that lios hashav tzoeg tamid right bebechi b'tachnunim osetzaka v'kocho right. It sounds like you have to do all of them. So the Lechem Mishnah just says, Mikol Makom Kasev Rabbeinu HaChamisha Mishun Vaday Kulu Odif Tvei. Obviously better all five than just one. V'nehi D'Mikol Echa Mehem Nahani L'Kroa Gzardin Aval HaTshuva HaGemura Hibiyoslo Chamisha HaTanayim. Now here the Lechem Mishnah is saying something really important, although you could miss it. He's not just saying, oh, that's the minimum and this is the maximum or this is the ideal. What he's noting is that the content of the Gemara and the substance of the Rambam are really speaking about two different things. The Gemara is talking about being korea gzardino shalada. And the Gemara is basically saying any of these five will do. It's a very pragmatic result. You have a gzardin, right? And a way to get that canceled, right, is through any one of these five. And the psukim and the language of the Gemara, but even more important, the psukim that are quoted to induce these, each one demonstrates that independently, right, the story of Abram, the story of Sarah, the story of Tzedakah Tatzil, Mimabes accomplishes this goal. The Rambam isn't giving you information about how to be korea gzardin. The words kriyas gzardin don't even appear in the Rambam. Right? This is the Rambam's introduction, not only the phrase, but the context, midarkei hatshuva. That's a totally different idea. And what Lechem Mishnah seems to be saying is, any of the five will do the kriyas gzardin, but if you want midarkei hatshuva, which he says is the equivalent of tshuva gemura, it's hard to know whether it refers to the result or to the methodology. But either way, if you want this to operate midarkei hatshuva, then working them in tandem is the way to go. Then you can understand why the Kesef Mishnah says that it's only a remez, and why the Lechem Mishnah also was connecting the dots. Because even though this clearly is the source in the Gemara, clearly the Rambam, in several respects, both in formulation and context, and especially in just what he's ascribing this to, this is not about kriyas gzardin, this is about tshuva. And the question then is, why did the Rambam make this change? How does he know it? And what is its significance? And indeed, if you look at some of the Mefarshim in Rosh Hashanah, the Ritva, for example, Al Atar, the Ritva says this is all about Kriyas Gzardin, and partially, at least, about Shinui Mazale. Right? A person has a certain, for whatever reason, he's destined to a certain result, and you want to change that destiny, shinu mazale. You're talking about his mazel, or in a broader sense, these are things that you can and should do. The truth is that the psukim, again, tzedaka tatzel mimabes, isn't necessarily about neutralizing chet. It's just the psukim and then makoros, what the Gemara speaks about this, imply that it's some special skula or maybe more rational connection, you know, between tzedakah and l'man yivarech Hashem alokecha, even if you're not a chote, tzedakah tatzil mimavetz. The story of Abraham and Sarah, right, certainly demonstrate that we're not talking about kapara from avonos, right? Sarah was, Sarai was a tzedekes, right? And Avram, right, was certainly worthy in every respect. The person, you know, who found the Ribbono Shel Olam and already, you know, was engaged in, you know, Avram, you know, Megayeres HaAnashim, Sarai Megayeres HaAnashim, in some respect already, but they were still Avram and Sarai. Meaning, we're talking about great people, not people who have, you know, terrible sort of Damocles type outstanding chataim that need neutralization. But Sarai, that's what Chazal say. If you look at Rashi and Bereishis, quoting the Medrash, you know, say Urei b'Tzeigenus. You know, you have to get away from that astrological, you know, destiny of being barren. So, you know, Mishana Shema, Mishana Mazala. And Avraham Avinu also, right, leaving, you know, one place, you know, changed his Avram from, you know, from that place, wasn't destined to have children. But Avraham, or Avram, from Eretz Canaan, you know, his destiny was a different destiny. But we're not talking about Tshuva, presumably, not Sarai, not Avram, not Tzedak B'Tatzel Mimabes, not any of it, actually. And that's what the Ritva points out. So how does the Rambam get from a Gemara which speaks about Shini Mazale, right, where each one works independently, and talked about ripping up a person's destiny and terrible destiny and fate, which is imposed upon not always for chet reasons, you know, could be for many different reasons. Where do you get from there to be darke hatshuva? And what is the significance of that movement? So I think that there are several things to say here. Number one, the Rambam may have been a little wary about reading the Gemara Kipshute, because given his very consistent rationalistic proclivities, the Rambam in general was not so big on you know, Mazale Goren. And as you know, of all medievalists, pretty much, the Rambam even rejected what was then considered to be, you know, a science. In other words, our chemistry and physics, you know, and biology, you know, didn't have anything on, you know, astrology, you know, in the medieval period. People believed that astrology was some sort of an objective science. The Rambam was a maverick, not only religiously, but also scientifically and philosophically, you know, in rejecting, you know, the substance, you know, of astrology. Even even among his other fellow Jewish rationalists, astrology mostly was accepted, not just religiously, I say, but even scientifically. And we spoke last year, not exactly around this time, but a little bit, you know, further down, but not so much further down, about this idea of, you know, Nistap Chasadeu, if you remember. Like, you know, Igiyas Mam Lo Nisu, everybody remembers? Nistap Chasadeu, the Machlokas Rishonim, whether it means Mazalcha Goran, which means either tough luck, it's not my problem, therefore it's your problem, which is not literally Mazalcha Goran, but, you know, more in the colloquial sense. Or Mazalcha Goran, meaning your Chiyuv, and therefore, obviously, your mazel, you know, gets responsibility. But even the Rishonim who didn't interpret mazalcha goreim in the literal sense, most of the Chachmei Sfarad, as opposed to Chachmei Ashkenaz, believed that there was such a thing as, you know, yesh mazal. Whether ein mazal li Yisrael is a different issue. That's something that the Ramban explains. Ki Yaakov, you know, ki chelek Hashem amo Yaakov chevel nachal aso, according to the Ramban, you know, part of the significance of that is that every you know, one of the Umas Olam has a mazel of some sort, and Klal Yisrael, you know, is different. I guess what the Maral would have said is they're me'ala teva, and fine, but that there is such a notion is a widespread view in the Rishonim, but the Rambam strongly rejected it. So for the Rambam to take the Koreas, Gzardino, Gemaras, and the Mefarshim and the Psukim that seem to speak about Shinui Mazalo, and to kind of try to rationalize it a little more, is not atypical and not unexpected. Rambam didn't deny these Gemaras, didn't deny the Psukim; he just understood them in a broader way. Obviously, the Rambam understood that what we're talking about here is Kriyas Gzardino and Shinui Mazale, you know, not in some kind of mystical way or astrological way per se, but that, you know, the ability of man to change, you know, to be a different person, and therefore to be able to change his destiny because he's able to transform his values his personality, and therefore his deservedness. Rambam was a very strong advocate of Hashgacha Pratis, right? And the idea that the Ribono Shel Olam might intervene to change what otherwise would be the destiny that you deserve when you were a different kind of a person is something that the Rambam, you know, could very much identify with. So what I'm trying to suggest is that while the Gemara speaks about Shinu Mazaleh in a, you know, much narrower meaning, and possibly a totally different idea for some Farshim, the Rambam certainly understood that the Gemara was talking about Kriyas Gzardino, and doesn't necessarily think that that only was a function of Tshuva, but what he did think was that there's a common denominator between a rational way of altering your fate in terms of Gzardin and the theme and the concept of Tshuva. Now, the truth is that the Rajba already, in a Tshuva, in the Chelek Aleph Simen Yotes, Tshuva Yotes, suggests that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has two meanings. Number one, the meaning of Shini Mazaleh, and number two, Kapara of Avonos, in the context, undoubtedly, was very much impacted by the Rambam on Ilchus Tshuva. So I think, given the Lecha Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah, what one could say is that the Rambam understood the Gemara as referring to a broader idea, still not the idea of tshuva per se, but of, you know, changing your destiny and your fate, because it still remains clear that Avram and Sarai and some of the other psukim are not in the context of, nor are they about tshuva, nor are they about kaparas avonos. But he understood that the principle behind Shinui Gzeiras Dino, right, is a principle that can be applied to tshuva, namely the principle of changing your identity by changing your values. So number one, I believe the Rambam was motivated by his general view about mazal and his reinterpretation of what mazal really means in such a way that it overlaps into tshuva. But I think it goes beyond that. I think that this also reflects a very an equally strong and important tendency in the Rambam, and that is to broaden Hilchas Tshuva. The Rambam did an amazing thing with Hilchas Tshuva. Minimally, the Rambam gets an incredible amount of credit just for putting together Hilchas Tshuva. Again, it's one of those artificial concoctions which is strewn about, you know, Shas and Medrash. There's no Masechta Tshuva. There's a lot in the end of Yuma, and there's a lot in Tainis, which is why the Meiri's Chibra Tshuva is connected to Tainis. The Rambam's Medarkei Tshuva in the context of Hilchos Tainis. But as we know, there is no Masechet Tshuva, and you have to have, you know, immense bekiyas to put it all, just like, you know, the Chafetz Chaim put together Hilchos Lashon Hara. You know, the Rambam put together many areas of halacha where, you know, there's no locus classicus. Just through his bekiyas and through his mental energy and strong convictions, the Rambam created Hilchos Tshuva. As far as I know, it's the first Hilchos Tshuva. Of course, it was followed up by Rabbeinu Yonah's Shari Tshuva and the Meiri's Chibra Tshuva, all of whom were influenced by the Rambam. And of course, this is part of the Rambam's larger, you know, halacha and shas effort. But having said that, by doing that, you know, the Rambam had to make an important editorial decision, and that is where to put it. And surely we know that there's significance to that. As we've noted in times past, I've quoted the article by Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, you know, sometimes there's no better place to put something, and then, you know, where you put it is less significant. But where there are clearly other alternatives, and where there are other models, the Rambam's choice, you know, becomes more significant. And, in particular, when the Rambam puts it in a very prominent place, that projects into something that is central and maybe says a lot about its character as well. So, for example, Hilchos Tshuva appears in Tur and Shulchan Aruch, you know, in the context of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, understandably. And in theory, it could be attached to Hilchos Tainis, like the Meiri's Chibra Tshuva. Or it could have been linked with something like Hilchos Shkagos or Mechusrei Kapara, something in the world of Karbonos, right, to which, again, there is a very strong affinity. Where did the Rambam choose to deal with Kafas Tshuva? In Sefer Mada, right? The book, right, which speaks of the interface between, you know, halacha and hashkafa, philosophy, which begins with Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, with the mitzvah of Amuna, right? Perek Beis Halacha Aleph transitions into Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, right? And then, of course, as Hilchos Deos, Hilchos Talmud Torah, on the negative side, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and then the culmination of all Sefer Mada, this interface which the Rambam created, you know, and initiated, you know, Yad HaChazaka with, and which, given the Rambam's philosophy of halacha and life, you know, is kind of the embodiment of this ideal and of the ambition, the Rambam culminates Sefer Mada with his creation. I don't mean that he made it up, but I mean he put it together, and by putting it together, the order, the formulations, our halacha is one of many examples. Rambam put tremendous mental effort, it wasn't just copying Gemaras, into Hilchos Tshuva, and that is the seed, right? That is the Sin Yud Aleph, that is the climax of Sefer Mada. Indeed, it's the transition between Mada and the next Sefer, Ahava. The final chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam, is the chapter in which he discusses, again, something which he began in Perek Beis, Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, right after discussing the nitty-gritty of theology, distance of Hashem, the fact that he is incorporeal, his unity, right, all the critical philosophical beliefs. The next thing that follows is Avas Hashem v'Yirasa, Perek Beis Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, Halach Aleph Beis. And then, in the very end of Sefer Mada, the last chapter, is Avodas Hashem Mei Ahava as the ideal. Suggested on other occasions that it seems like the Rambam omits the famous Gemara in Yuma about the Gemara says that tshuva meyira turns zdonos into shkagos, tshuva me'ava turns zdonos into zchuyos. Two very challenging Gemaras, which I want to speak more about. It seems like the Rambam doesn't codify that halacha, which is strange because, as I say, he's the one who put Hilchos Tshuva as a unit on the map and in the most prominent place. And it's not as if he doesn't quote other Divrei Chazal either. The question is, why doesn't he quote these two things? A, I think he had some logical difficulty with them. But B, more to the point, is I think that he did quote them. He just quoted them in a more subtle and more powerful way. The Rambam's way of codifying Tshuva Me'aba is to understand it not as a narrow circumstance or an example of tshuva, but as a way of saying that the ultimate goal of tshuva is Avas Hashem. Avodas Hashem Me'ava is Perek Yud, it was tshuva. That's where he speaks about Shir HaShirim, that's where he speaks about Mitoch Shelo Lishma V'Lishma, and that's the transition from Sefer Mada to Ma Hafti Torasecha Kol Yomi Sichasi, which of course is Sefer Ava, which begins with Hilchos Kriyashma, Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim, Behaftas Hashem Elokecha, right? Bechol Levavcha, Bechol Nafshecha, Bechol Meodecha. If you ask me, where is the Rambam of Avoda, of Tshuva, Me'ava, it's in Perek Yud, Hilchos Tshuva, the final word of Hilchos Tshuva. But if that's the case, then what that highlights is that the Rambam understands Tshuva not in a narrow way, but in the broadest way possible. It belongs in Sefer Mada not only because it's indispensable to man's life, but because tshuva is an avoda. Tshuva isn't just a way to neutralize chataim, or even the way to come out a little bit ahead. It is an indispensable aspect of Avodas Hashem. That's why at its sea, at its height, it's interchangeable with Avas Hashem. If that's the case, then we can understand that the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, whenever possible, broadens what Tshuva is. So the Rambam took a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that seems to be speaking narrowly about how you change your Gzar Din, nothing to do with Tshuva at all. He kind of downplayed that aspect of it for reasons that are consistent with his overall convictions about halacha and hashkafa. He didn't deny it, but what he did at the same time was made it more ambitious. He integrated it into tshuva, because for the Rambam, often his expansions of Hilchos Tshuva reflect a broader perspective on what tshuva is and the role that it plays. Not merely the neutralizing of chet, but an aspect of Avodas Hashem. That's why the Rambam in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Gimel and Dalet, Halacha Gimel, he speaks very famously about, one more minute, about tshuva of attitudes and midos. The Rambam says tshuva is not just for chataim, tshuva is for midos and hashkafos. And then he adds, and by the way, that kind of tshuva is actually more difficult to accomplish than the tshuva that relates to chataim. The next halacha, Halacha Dalet, is the Rambam's halacha of B'makom Shebali Tshuva Omdin, Ein Sadikim Gemurim Mecholim Lavo. That's where he says, don't think a Baal Tshuva is forever tainted by his past. On the contrary, by going through this process, right, he achieves a certain stature, you know, as a Baal Tshuva, not just an Oseh Tshuva. And that is, you know, equal to, or in some respects more impressive than, a Tzaddik Gomer. So the Rambam understood that what it takes to accomplish Tshuva is identical or common with what it takes to change your fate and destiny in terms of Gzar Din. And that means not just to neutralize the specific chet. Obviously, it also requires that, the vidui, right, the eini chozer la'oso, osam hamasim, but it really also requires midarkei hatshuva, lios hashav tzoek, etc. So what the Rambam did was, he basically understood, like the guessing, like the Tshuva Sarajba later, that the Gemara is speaking about Gzar Din. The Gemara thinks one is enough. The Gemara thinks that to change your Gzar Din, you need to do these things, in any of them, and narrowly. But given the nature of what Tshuva is, and given the nature of how you change your fate and your destiny, right, if you intensify by doing all of these, and by doing each one in a manner that reflects a core change to your whole personality, your religious personality, then that is midarkei hatshuva, that is part of tshuva gemur. Therefore he adds, midarkei hatshuva, lios hashav, not just tzoek, which is the gemara, but tzoek tamid, lifnei Hashem, bibechi ubetachanunim. All these details, right, are significant intensification. But osa tzedakah, that's all we have in the gemara, tzedakah tatzal mimabes, kifi kocho, plug in some of the rules of Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. Umisrachek harbe min adavar shechata bo, that isn't in the list, but umishane shemo, not just shinu shemo superficially, but klomar, ani acher, eni osa isha osa osa namasim, umishane maasav, kulon letova ulederach yishara. What's the kulon? Meaning even the... There's an interesting discussion. We show in the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah, asks the question. He says, I don't understand. Of course you have to be Mishana Masav, because otherwise you're told of a Sheretz V'yada. So the Ritva says, no, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that the act, you know, which is responsible for the Gzar Din, or which needs Kapara. It means, if you want to do this properly, that even the other things you have to be Mishana. You have to recast your whole personality. And that's what the Me'iri also says, that line in the Chibur HaTshuva, in that same place, Maimar Aleph, Perek Tes. The Ran says it as well, in Drasha Saran, Drasha Shishis, he speaks about Tshuva being not only a negative, not only neutralizing sin, as we said many times, but also being a mitzvah saseh that gives us chuyos. And he talks about this idea of being Mishane Lito. That's what the Rambam is saying. It isn't just Mishane Shmo, but it's Ani Acher Ve'ini Osa Yish Osa Osa Namasim. And it's not just Mishane Maisav, the ones that got you to this problem, but Kula Litova L'derech Yishara. Even the Golem Imakomo has to be more than Mishane Mazalo, Shegolos Mechaperes Avon, Shegoremes Lichana, Lios Anav Ushval Ruach. Being an Anav and a Shval Ruach, right, is going well beyond the neutralization of the chet. This is the case, we understand, that the Rambam by reformulating this din is making a statement not only about this particular methodology of tshuva, but about tshuva, broadly speaking, itself. And this is consistent with another Rambam, just going to mention this now, that I believe I spoke about either last year or 2 years ago. Not everybody was here, I know, but whoever was here, hopefully will remember. And that is, there's a strange, the same Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that Zayin Amud Beis, speaks about, you know, Tzadikim Gemurim and Rishoyim Gemurim, who are Nidonim La'alter, and then the Beinonim, who, you know, are Tola Ad Yom HaKippur. What happens when they're Tola? What determines their fate? So the Gemara says, Zachu, you know, if they have Schuyos or they're Zoche, then, you know, they too will be inscribed, you know, on Yom Kippur in the proper book. But the Rambam, interestingly enough, in Perigimel, Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Gimel, says, Umisha nimsa rosha nechta l'gisa, beinoni tole nosa yom kippurim, imasa tshuva nechta l'chaim, imlav nechta l'misa. Ram Shita is that the only thing that helps you at that point is not tzchuyos per se, but tshuva. But if you look carefully at the Rambam, the next halacha, halacha dalet, when he talks about seres yimei tshuva, he says, that's why nagu kulam lakum balayla, b'pnei avon zeh nagu yisrael harbos b'tzedakah b'masim tovim, So some of the Farshim ask, he just said it depends on tshuva, not on other mitzvos and zchuyos. But for the Rambam, the idea that tshuva is disconnected from tefillah, from tzedakah, from tzaka, when you put together Perek Beis, Halacha Dalid, and Perek Gimel, Halacha, Gimel, and Dalid, you have exactly the same pattern. An expansion of tshuva, which makes it consistent that the Rambam put this in Sefer Mada as the culmination of Sefer Mada itself. Okay, we'll stop here. I want to elaborate on this maybe next time as we go forward with this tshuva.